Listening Library presents Catalyst by Laurie Haltz Anderson. Read for you by Samantha Mathis. Part 1. Solid. The rate of a chemical reaction depends on the frequency and force of collisions between molecules. From ARCO, Everything You Need to Score High on AP Chemistry, 3rd edition. 1.0. Elemental. Safety tip. Never carry out unauthorized experiments. I like to run at night. No one watches me. No one hears my sneakers slipping in the loose gravel at the side of the road. Gravity doesn't exist. My muscles don't hurt. I float, drift past churches, stores, and schools, past the locked houses and their flicker blue windows. My mind is quiet and clear. A ghost hovers off my left shoulder. I can almost hear her breathe. I pick up the pace. She doesn't scare me. I know I'll win. Well, I'm pretty sure I'll win. Chances are good. On the outside, I am good Kate, Reverend Jack Malone's girl. Isn't she sweet? She helps so much with the house. So sad about her mother, and she's smart, too. Seen her name in the papers for honor roll this and science fair that. She's got scholarship written all over her. Runs pretty fast. She's so good with her brother. Why can't all teenagers be like her? On the inside, I am Bad Kate, daughter of no one. She's such a bitch. Thinks she's all that. Prays with her eyes open. Lets her boyfriend put his hands all over her. Miss Perfect. Miss Suck-up. Disrespectful, disagreeable. Still waters run deep and dirty. She's going to lose it, just you watch. I've seen her type before. Run faster. Sweat trickles along the bones of my face and licks my neck. Running, sweating, evaporating. I'm distilling myself in the dark. Mixture, substance, compound, element, atom. The ghost is getting closer. Run faster. Push beyond the wall. Push beyond my limits. My chest is flayed open. No lungs to breathe with. No heart to pound. The air flows around and between my shiny bones. My skin is silk. I take it off when I get hot. The first night I ran late like this, the puddles were filmed with ice. Now the trees are leafing and the roads are dry, and I fly almost naked, breathless, running out of the empty night into a place where I can't hear myself think. I wish I never had to stop. 1.1. Stasis. I take a quick shower and pull on old sweats and two pairs of socks. It's only 1:15, and there's no way I'm going to fall asleep, not with all that crap running through my head. But that's a good thing. Insomnia rocks, actually. You can get a lot done if you don't sleep. I've turned into a hyper-efficient wind-up Kate doll. Super Kate. The Uber Kate. I wish this had happened last year. It would have given me more time to study for my AP exams. I head downstairs to finish the laundry. The rest of the family does not share my passion for clean clothes. Dad, age 47, hobbies, religion, football, losing hair. Wouldn't notice if he wore the same pair of pants for a month. Toby, age 14, hobbies, trombone, soccer, masturbation, doesn't know how to find the laundry room. I take the clean load out of the dryer, move the wet stuff over, and empty the hamper into the washing machine. I pour in the soap and set the dial to regular. Bad Kate mutters that they need to start washing their own clothes. What are they going to do when I go to MIT? Good Kate doesn't mind. She thinks there is something soothing about doing the laundry, something de-stressing. Besides, I don't leave for another 4 months. Bad Kate points out that I have not been accepted yet. She can be a real bitch after midnight. I carry the dry clothes to the family room and dump them on the couch. Sophia, our Siamese cat, strolls into the room and hops up on the recliner. She is followed by her boy toy, Mr. Spock, our black lab. He lies down in front of her chair with a groan. I set up the ironing board, plug in the iron, and turn on the TV to the sci-fi channel. A bug-eyed, tentacled alien has just totaled her spaceship in a cornfield. The ship looks alarmingly like my car. A SWAT team confronts her in the middle of all that corn. Poor little alien. I pull one of Dad's shirts out of the pile and iron it. By the time I'm done, it can almost stand up by itself. Nobody irons like me. As I button the shirt on its hanger, a deep, wet cough echoes down the stairwell. Sophia and Mr. Spock stare at me, their black eyes drippy and wide like cartoon animals. I gave him his medicine at 10:30, I say. Another cough, as if on cue. Sophia flicks her tail in irritation. I set the shirt hanger on the edge of the ironing board. Toby has allergies, asthma, and a bad cold. It sounds as if he has a quart of pus in his lungs. He needs to cough, I remind the cat. It clears the mucus. I check my watch. Pause. Pause. Toby coughs again. This one is better, productive, and short. And then it's quiet. See? Sophia bends over and licks her butt. Oh, lovely, thank you. I lay another shirt on the ironing board. Toby is fine. Really. I checked his peak flow when he took his medicine, and he was way out of the danger zone. I pull out another shirt and spray starch on the collar. It's not like this could get serious or anything. It's just annoying, all that soggy noise. Disgusting. I set the starch can on the end of the ironing board and pin down the collar with my fingertips. When I skate the hot iron across the cloth, the starch bubbles and hisses. I press the collar, work my way around the buttons, smooth out the buttonholes, and flatten the cuffs. When the detail work is done, I lay the shirt face down and iron back and forth, back and forth. The wrinkles vanish. Next victim. On the television, the battle is heating up. The alien burbles something and whips out a weapon, though for all we know it could be a tentacle cleaner. The SWAT team lobs a canister of tear gas at her feet and it explodes. The alien falls to the ground, clawing at her eyeballs. I stop ironing. This is a major logic flaw. No alien life form would be affected by tear gas the way humans are. She's probably not even carbon-based. Don't these writers know anything? Jeez. I iron and iron, and the movie goes downhill. Dad's shirts and khakis are hung on hangers, his jeans are folded, his t-shirts stacked in the basket with all the limp, dark dad socks. Sophia is asleep, her nose tucked under her tail. Mr. Spock yawns. I can't help it. I yawn back. Oh, yeah, sleep. A good concept, but I need to finish Toby's clothes. And I should finish tomorrow's to-do list. I should run the dishwasher. I should sleep. I should sleep. I should sleep. I know I should sleep, but knowing and doing are two different beasts. I'm stressed, duh, but it's almost over. The finish line is in sight, and I can hear the crowd roaring. I quickly iron my brother's pants and shirts, keeping half an eye on the movie. They'd be treating that alien nicer if they knew about the mothership idling over Idaho. Just once I'd like to see the aliens win. Toby's goalie shirt is at the bottom of the pile. You should never iron goalie shirts because they melt. I turn off the iron, unplug it, and move the plug 3 feet away from the wall. I know it is completely illogical to think that electricity could arc from the socket to the plug and heat the iron and burn the house down, but it's almost 2 in the morning and I'm feeling a little lightheaded, so better safe than sorry. The movie breaks for commercials that try to sell me beer, leg hair remover, and steak knives. Oh, wait, one more. The psychic hotline. Gack, gack, gack. Last scene. They have the alien in a hospital hooked up to tubes and monitors. They are transformed.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?